Okay. So, yeah, maybe I'll repeat what I just said. So, I mean, yeah, so one or two are, one and two are just different names for the same construction. It is not known if three is the same as one and two. Three is the same as four, but it's not known, and they're fully understood. And I should say, none of them is remotely computable. Okay? So all of them are actually, Drinfeld associators are in principle combinatorial, but the spaces in which this combinatorics happens are spaces of this A type, and these spaces grow exponentially in size as a function of the degree. So computations are impossible, and or have been made to degree 10 or so, but that's about as far as you can go. And these definitions are even worse. I mean, these are integrals over high-dimensional spaces. You know, this is, we mathematicians, you know, tend to write things like, let's integrate over some high-dimensional space. But we're lying. I mean, we're writing these things and they're lies because you can't really do it. Sorry, I'm showing my opinionated nature. You can do it in some special cases, but not in general. Okay. So what did I want to say? Now I want to talk about something else. So, or not something else, but I mean, move on. So the theorem perhaps is, well, the theorem has proofs. It doesn't matter at the moment what they are. So let's assume it. And I want to talk about something else. So first of all, basically I want to tell you about algebraic properties of A. Okay? This target space of the invariant. So Ks is a metamonoid. Sorry, in fact, even better, it's a meta Hopf algebra. So it has strand stitching, but also strand doubling. So how much of it does A inherit? So the answer is everything. So A of S is a meta Hopf algebra 2. And in fact, it's even better because Ks is just nearly a meta-Hopf algebra. Remember, there was this issue that we didn't quite know how to connect, how to stitch strands if their ends were not near each other. We only knew how to stitch nearby strands. Otherwise, you have to choose how to go. But in the associated graded, it doesn't matter. So AS is an associated a meta-Hopf algebra. Okay, K of a single strand is sort of like a group because it has a multiplication operation, right? So, right, namely, if you have K of a single, if you have two knots, you can just put them one after the other. So the space of knots is nearly a group. Well, it's not nearly a group, it's a nearly a monoid, okay? So, I allowed linear combinations, so K of this is nearly a, K of a single strand is nearly a group ring, right? When you allow yourself to take linear combinations of the elements of a group ring, the result is when you allow yourself to take linear combinations of elements of a group, the result is what you call a group ring. So K of a single strand is nearly a group ring. Group rings are Hopf algebras, not meta-Hopf algebras. They're just Hopf algebras. It follows, A of a single strand is a Hopf algebra. So we will talk about it, we will get to it. And then there are a few more properties, but maybe not right now. Okay? So that's where I'm heading. Okay? So let's do the first thing first. The first thing first. So the claim is that A of S is a meta-Hopf algebra. And which amounts to saying that it has the following operations. So what operations did I insist on? Okay, so it was supposed to be a disjoint union, but that's kind of not terribly interesting. There was supposed to be a strand renaming. There was supposed to be a strand deletion. There was supposed to be an insertion of an empty strand. There was supposed to be a stitching, MABC, that's the interesting one. There was supposed to be a strand doubling. So if you have a strand A, you can make two copies of it and call them B and C. And finally, there is supposed to be an antipode, so strand reversal. You should be able to reverse the direction of a strand. So, I mean, all of these operations exist, again, sometimes with issues about what exactly is the domain of definition, but other than that, all of these operations exist on K, and now I want to tell you what they are on A. Okay? So, and in each case, In each case, the definition is forced. So, I mean, they're all operations that are induced from the structure of K. Okay? So let's see, disjoint union. Suppose you have two chord diagrams. So one on a skeleton AB and another on a skeleton CD. And I need to create a chord diagram on a skeleton ABCD. This corresponds to putting two tangles side by side. Okay? So more precisely, these are chord diagrams. So, I mean, there will be a chord here and a chord here, and maybe a chord here and a chord here. So how would you make a chord diagram out on four strands? The answer is obvious. You just copy. Okay? So I gave you an ad hoc definition. This is what it comes out to be. But I really meant that this comes from the usual, it is induced by the usual disjoint union operation. So you have to think why. So what does this mean? So this maps to an element of Kn modulo, well in this case it's K2 modulo K3 because there are only two chords here. And this element of K2 modulo K3 is some crazy singular tangle. So basically, you know, one way to generate this tangle is to pull two fingers and connect them this way. Okay, something like that, okay? Likewise, this corresponds to an element of K2 modulo K3. I just have no imagination, sorry. Both cases, it was just two, okay? But, and this is again, some odd-looking tangle. I don't know. It doesn't really matter what it looks like. Now, the operation from K K to K is disjoint union, and it clearly, well, if you restrict it to K2 times K2, you get an element of K4, because if an element here has two double points and an element here has two double points, and the disjoint union will have four. So you'll get an element of K4, and if here you mod out by K3, so elements that have three double points here, well, when you multiply them with something which already has two double points here, we'll have five double points. So this operation, the disjoint union operation, is well-defined modulo K5. Okay? And so the obvious disjoint union from here times here is well-defined as an operation into K4 modulo K5, and it maps this tangle, comma, this tangle, to the tangle on four strands that look like whatever it does, okay? Like a disjoint union. But then K5 corresponds to A5, to A4, and the element in A4 it corresponds to will be this. Basically, yeah, so I went through how, it's almost tautological, but that's why disjoint union of tangles corresponds to disjoint union of chord diagrams. Okay? However, note that strictly speaking, the disjoint union of tangles was not even well defined. It was well defined only if we had some additional information, right? If you remember, to make it well defined, we had to, first of all, we needed to regard these as planar objects, so we needed to choose a word which orders the ends of the tangles, and then we had to declare where we put, how we merge the two words, okay? But all of this is irrelevant when you switch to chord diagrams, because chord diagrams are anyway pure combinatorics. So already here, the right-hand side is better behaved than the left-hand side. This is just well-defined, period, whereas this required some more choices. Okay. So let's give ourselves marks. This one is done. Strand renaming. Yes, I thought we met at 3:30 or something.
I thought it was 2:30 by then.
No, I think it was
3:30. Okay, I'll
come back. Okay. So strand renaming is completely obvious. Really, the strands in a chord diagram should be named, and renaming them is renaming, and it's obvious. Okay. What's eta A? So, how does eta A act on a chord diagram? So, suppose I have a chord diagram. I don't know. Here's a chord diagram. So, by the way, my convention. Well, okay, it's here. It's clear what the strands here are. Call it eta. There are three strands, A, B, C, and it's clear what the chords are, okay? So now I need to tell you what eta A, eta B, and eta C are. Okay, eta B is the easiest. If you want to remove strand B, nothing connects to it, it doesn't interact with anything, you simply get A, C, and this. What about eta A? So, suppose I wanted to remove strand A. Okay, how do I think about it? So, the the tangle corresponding to this will in particular have in it a crossing, a double point, which involve A and C. Right? It will have more double points, like a CC double points as well, but in particular it will have a double point that involves A and C. Now I apply eta A to this, strand A disappears. I mean, more precisely, I think of this double point as being an over minus an under, and then I disappear strand A. Strand A disappears, there's no longer a distinction between an over and an under. Strand A is not even there. Okay? So the result of this will be, zero. Okay, basically because, again, this really stands for over minus under, but if you delete one of the strands, there's no difference, there's no longer a difference between over minus unders. Okay, so this is zero, and therefore the corresponding thing, the corresponding core diagram is also zero. Likewise, C. If you delete C, well, then you're more zero, okay? Because you have three different reasons why the answer is zero. So overall, eta does the following thing. So if you delete a strand that has no chords on it, you just delete it. If you delete a strand that has any chord connected to it, it goes to zero, okay? Okay, that's eta. Epsilon, well, okay, so, sorry, so we give ourselves a check for eta. Epsilon would stand for including an empty strand. So adding an empty strand, you just add an empty strand on the right, on the core diagrams, there's nothing to say. Stitching is also obvious. So stitching is the following. So you see, I tend to write my core diagrams with all strands pointing up. But for stitching, it's more convenient to write one of them pointing down. So suppose you have a core diagram on this picture, and the chords are called A, B, and E for extra. Then what would stitching A, B, calling the result C, be? Exactly what you expect. Namely, you just merge them, you just merge the two strands, call the resulting strand C, and otherwise copy the core diagram. So this is a core diagram on a different skeleton, but the same number of chords. Why is it true? Well, it's obvious. I mean, basically, find a tangle that represents this with double points and stitch, and then it would, and after stitching, it would represent that. Okay, so we're done with this. Next, doubling. So strand doubling is not entirely trivial. So, okay, let's again take the same example as here. Let's compute. So here is A, B, C. And let's compute delta to x1, x2. So let's take strand x and make two copies of it, call them x1 and x2, where x could be either A or x is B or X is C. Okay? So, okay. Again, B is obvious. B doesn't play any role. If I double B, it just gets doubled. So here the result will be B got doubled, everything else got copied. So this is A, C, B1, B2. Okay? What happens if I double strand A? So for this, I need to find, okay, first of all, what would, I need to find a tangle that represents this. A tangle that represents this will have a crossing between C and A, right? Such a cross, sorry, a double point between C and A. Such a double point really stands for an overcrossing minus an undercrossing. And if I have my signs wrong, forgive me. I mean, I did mark orientation, so my signs are not wrong. The orientations are the ones that make this correct. Okay? But now I want to double strand A. So instead of a single A, I'll have two A's here and two A's here. Right? But now I want to rewrite this as a sum of double point, of things with double points. But to switch from over to under, I now need to do two switches. I need to switch over the first copy of A and then over the second copy of A. So this is really equal to this plus this. No, this is me, and my wife is calling me, and I will ignore her. Okay, so switching from this to this is like, well, first switching this, and then switching the other one. Okay? But this corresponds to two chord diagrams. Which chord diagrams? I didn't take space, so let's call this one C, let's call this one A, and now I can write it here. So which chord diagram is it? So strand A got double, the skeleton is always this, it will be a sum of two things with the same skeleton. So 1, 2, B, C, 1, 2, B, C. On the C I didn't do anything, so this will always stay. And then the double point, the chord that went from C to A becomes a sum of two possibilities, either going to 1 or going to 2. Okay? Now, what about C? So, for C, in general, if you have n or k chord ends on a strand and you double it, each chord end becomes two possibilities. Sort of the left possibility or the right possibility. So likewise here, so here you'll get a sum of eight terms corresponding to, well, maybe I'll just write them, but basically, okay, so maybe I'll write them schematically. Do I have space for that? Only if I'm very, very, so here are the eight possibilities. 1, 2, here are the two copies of C. So the eight possibilities are you take the right end of the horizontal chord and you sum over the two ways of putting it here, and then you take the vertical chord and you sum over the two ways of putting it one end here. Well, basically, you sum over all eight possibilities of connecting here with no signs. Okay. So we're done with this. Okay? And finally, what's strand reversal? So here I have to worry about signs, and maybe I will not do it right now. But basically, if you reverse a strand, it the only thing it does is it reverses the orientation, the sign of each crossing it passes through. Okay, so if you reverse a strand, it will reverse the, it will negate the core diagram as many times as it has ends on that strand. So in this case, for this core diagram, SB will do nothing, SA will flip one sign and reverse the direction of the skeleton, and SC will reverse the direction of the skeleton and flip sign three times, meaning one time. Okay? So this is a check mark too. And let me take a picture and tell you about the other... Okay. So, I forgot a few words. So, I wanted to say here that it's a commutative and co-commutative Hopf algebra. Okay. Should I remind you what these things are? I should, right? At some point, somebody told me he didn't know, he needed a reminder on what a Hopf algebra was.
I think it was me, but it's but, since gotten better. So
oh,
I think we're okay.
Oh, we're okay. Good. So so this is the analog of group rings. So let me remind you how group rings are Hopf algebras. So if you have a group ring, QG, then there is an obvious multiplication operation, well, M, and it just comes induced by the group multiplication. So sum AI G, you know, basically, since the notation implies that it's a linear operation, I only need to tell you what it is on the generators. So I only need to tell you that, so there is a map from QG to QG, tensor QG to QG, by G1 tensor G2 goes to their product. Yeah, that's easy. Okay? And then there is a map from QG to QG tensor QG, and this map, again, I only need to tell you what it is on the generators, and it maps an element G of the group to G tensor G. Okay? And then there is also a Hopf algebra also has a few further operations. So a unit, a co-unit, and an antipode. The unit and the co-unit, the antipode is induced by inversion, but I think I want to ignore all of these and just talk about the two more principal operations. Okay. So for knots, the corresponding operations are, so if you have a K1 tensor K2, then the multiplication map will map it to you just put them one after the other. In other words, you in the language of before, it's the disjoint union followed by the stitching. So really we would call it union followed by M12 into 1. Okay? And that's just that the result is just K1 followed by K2. So this is as you would expect. And, oh, I forgot to give names for these operations. So here I called it M, here I should have called it M also. And here, the standard name is delta. But delta is strand doubling, and I don't want to confuse you with strand doubling. So I use box. So my coproduct is called box. Okay? So box takes a group element to a group element tensor itself. So I should have a similar box operation going from K into K tensor K. But notice, this is K tensor K. This is, well, generated by pairs of knots. This is not the same as K of two components. I mean, it is in fact included in K of two components, but it's not the same. K of two components is a much larger space. Okay? So delta maps K to K of two components, the ordinary delta, the one that we discussed the one that we discussed in the previous blackboard. Where is it? I thought I clicked. What's happening? Oh, I should have clicked twice. Right. So the delta that we discussed over there would produce a knot with two strands. But that's not our delta. And the two strands would be linked with each other. Okay, so here then box is just so box of K just puts two copies of K side by side. Sorry, not side by side. I mean side by side, but in different tensor product tensor factors. Okay. So what are the corresponding operations on A? So on A. So M is sort of obvious, and in fact, M is just a combination of operations we already discussed. So also the proof is obvious. So M maps, well, if you have one chord diagram on a single strand, tensor another chord diagram on a single strand, the result is basically the concatenation of the two chord diagrams. That's obvious. Box is not at all obvious. So box is, it's not even obvious what it should mean. Okay? Because if K is filtered, I didn't tell you yet how to filter K tensor K. Or did I?
Yeah, I did.
But you know what, let me tell you again. So K tensor K is filtered by, so the nth piece of the filtration of K. Or you know what, let me just write it this way. So K tensor K, the nth piece of the filtration, so that should be a subset of K tensor K, and that subset is the sum of all subsets of the form KP tensor KQ, where p plus q is equal to n. I hope I have it right. Yes.
Equal or less than?
What?
Equal or less than?
If anything greater than.
Because it's the filtered thing, not the graded, right?
Right, so, but these are decreasing filtrations.
So bigger than, I guess.
So bigger than, but that's the same. There are various inclusions that will show you that it's the same. Okay? So now suppose I have a core diagram. What I want to do is I want to find a knot that represents it, first of all, a tangle that represents it. So a tangle that represents it will be, I guess, for example, this, and then I need two more such bridges. It's a bit of a mess to write such a tangle. Something like this, where here there are no crossings. So the double points are highlighted, and the rest I didn't bother to choose, okay? But now I want to apply a box to this. But the box was never defined on singular tangles. It was only defined on non-singular tangles. So really I should be thinking of this as a sum of eight things. So this is a sum of eight things, and then each of these things should be doubled. So the result is a sum of eight different things, and each of them become of eight k's, and each of them I write as k tensor k. And my watch already beeped, so I'm past the time to stop. But let me tell you that the result will be the sum of all ways of splitting this diagram into two parts: a part that goes to the left and a part that goes to the right. So basically, you're going to get terms like this tensor that, plus all other eight ways of deciding which of the chords here goes left and which goes right. But I guess next time. Okay. So, let's stop.